welcome to Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burr. We've got a lot to cover this week. We start in the Philippines this morning. Team USA men's basketball downed Montenegro 85-73 in second round action of the FIBA World Cup. Guard Anthony Edwards led Team USA with 17 points. Tyrese Halliburton had 10 assists. On the Montenegro side, Chicago Bull Nikola Vukovic had 18 points, 16 rebounds. Montenegro did keep it close up to the half, but the U.S. pulled away in the third quarter. Steve Kerr's team cruised through that first round of group play during the week, beating Greece, New Zealand, and Jordan fairly handily. At the U.S. Gymnastics Championship, Simone Biles did it again last weekend, nabbing her eighth all-around title in San Jose. Her combined score topped Chelsea Jones by 3.9 points. She still didn't hint about her Paris 2024 plans, but she's got the Worlds coming up in October. She was asked about what's keeping her going in this latest run after taking some time off.
I still feel like I have some personal goals. I still feel like I'm capable of doing it, and I've kind of proved to myself that I can still go out there and compete to the same level as before. I keep doing that, I'll be out here, because absolutely not. But I'm going to give it one more go, and then we'll see.
That audio courtesy of USA Gymnastics. U.S. track and field wrapped up a very successful campaign in Budapest at the Worlds, grabbing 29 medals, including 12 golds, more than twice what any other nation pulled in. Noah Lyles managed 3 golds, tying a record set by Usain Bolt. Some news from the U.S. women's national soccer team this week. Megan Rapinoe announced her final international game with the U.S. women's team will be in Chicago later this month when they take on South Africa. She'll still play professionally until the end of the NWSL season later this fall. Her longtime teammate, Julie Ertz, also formally announced her retirement following 2 World Cup championships and 2 U.S. Soccer Female Player of the Year awards. We go back to the beach this week as the AVP Tour comes to Chicago, where we're at. I had a chance to talk with Canadian duo Melissa Humana Paredes and Brandi Wilkerson, who were in town, both previous Olympians. Not together, though. The former college teammates have paired up for this Paris push. I had a chance to meet them at Oak Street Beach along Lake Michigan in Chicago as they wrapped up practice.
Melissa Humana Paredes.
Brandi Wilkerson.
I think I read that you said you were very disappointed by your finish in Tokyo. Is that kind of your motivation going into this season here?
I think it definitely adds some fuel for sure to experience the Olympic Games in a different way. But I think I'd like to start every Olympic quad with different energy. And then obviously I have a new teammate. And so that also just kind of results in a different team dynamic, a different team energy, and different goals and a different way of approaching those goals. So I think there will always be that little fuel of I want to do better, but I think I'm totally approaching it differently with a different mindset and with a different approach and structure.
I love that when I talk to athletes the first time they go, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, the Olympics, and the second time it's like laser focus. Like, it's not just good enough to be there. You know, you want to actually do something and you know, accomplish more. So it's interesting to watch kind of how that develops. How did this partnership all come about?
Melissa and I have known each other for almost a decade.
More.
Oh, okay. I know, I'm so bad with this. I'm like a bad partner that doesn't remember anniversaries.
No, I was just doing the math because I think we were in university at like 18, 19, and we're 30.
Yeah. Okay, no. So it's been a minute. So we've known of each other and in the volleyball space for a while. We've been teammates, competitors, each other's secret supporters, and also rivals, like all of it. And I think the timing last year just coming to an end with our own teammates and our own partnerships and just kind of our own, like she said, new goals, new energy. You just want to go into the quad with something different. And we both happened to be in that space at the same time and saw the opportunity to finally play together. And I think the timing was perfect. Yeah.
So what does this year look like? We're 11 months out from the games. What are your goals? Where's your focus at? What are you guys trying to accomplish right now?
It was really interesting because the timing of our pairing was challenging in that it was the start of an Olympic quad, but also we were a brand new team. So we were trying to figure out our systems and kind of get everything dialed in and like nailed down our synchronicity and our rhythm and that kind of stuff, while also being like, oh, we need to execute at every tournament so we're getting enough Olympic points to be in the running. And so it was a a huge balance there where we were like, okay, we have to still execute and perform while still trying to try things, and is this working, and finding communication styles. Meanwhile, a lot of other teams have just kind of had that for the last few years under their belt. So I think our goals have definitely changed from the beginning of the year to where we are now. I think we've kind of settled in for sure, and we've got our systems down. We've also had a pretty successful year. We put ourselves in a good position in the Olympic run. I think there's still a lot left that we haven't untapped, both in what we want to see on the court and kind of in results and points and numbers and stuff. But I think we're on the right track. And I think as athletes, it's hard not to see the results now. I think that was kind of a big struggle for us. We're like, oh, we can see our potential and we just want it to come now. But it's a journey, it's a process, and we have to be patient.
Yeah, 11 months is a long ways away, obviously. And there are a lot of steps that you have to... Is it hard staying in the now mindset and not thinking about playing under the Eiffel Tower in 11 months?
Yes and no. It is, because we're competitive athletes. We want to be the best in the world and be our very best all the time. That's kind of just the environment we are in. But also, it's not, because as difficult as, you know, the timing that Melissa just explained, I wouldn't do this journey if I didn't trust in our capability and her ability and my ability to figure it out in that kind of timing. And it's been such an enjoyable journey, and just being able to learn and grow and have really bigger goals than just results. And when you're so focused on just being a better athlete, being a better person, a better teammate, and having just more fulfillment in this whole Olympic run, the now is really enjoyable, and you kind of just trust that things will come together.
So what are some of those specifics you guys are working on right now? I mean, is it just kind of like a feel, or are there certain like actual goals that you're trying to hit?
Yeah, well, I can't tell you our secret. No, I'm kidding. No. Yeah, I think we're honestly a very feel team, if that makes sense. Like, we do go with the rhythm, and it does kind of feel like a dance out there. I think our style of play is different than most. I think we are undersized, so we kind of try and use that to our advantage. I think a lot of our focus is on our defense, trying different defensive systems, different plays, and really kind of feed into our strengths. I think we're working on different types of serving, different types of offensive plays as well. I think we've now evolved into different types of offensive plays and running different sets. And yeah, it's just different strategies, which is exciting. We're getting really creative, I think, with our team and our coaches and what we can execute. I think we're untapping, like, oh, wow, we can really do this. And it's like, it gives you new energy. I think it's nice to see that we can keep growing and evolving our game. I think if you were just stagnant and you weren't really changing things or enhancing things, it would get kind of boring.
But strategically, do you have to hold anything back? I mean, you'll probably end up seeing some of these teams down the road. Yeah. So I don't know if there's like, do you shield anything?
No.
We're gonna pull this secret out at this time? No?
I mean, that's some team strategies. It's not ours. I think we definitely feel confident in what we have, and we got to test it out. And we are brave enough to see if it works or if it doesn't work, and come back stronger mm-hmm. when it doesn't. And if someone beats us at what we're trying, then it's like, all right, there's another way we can find something new in there and stay curious. So no, we're not going to hide anything. And we're also not hiding our goals. Like, we want to win, we want to do the best, we want a gold, like all of these things. We have to be able to say that and hold ourselves accountable, because we're all trying to do that. It's the ones that are going to be brave enough to actually try.
What was your favorite moment at the Olympics off the sand?
Favorite moment at the Olympics off the sand. I think putting on the uniform before my first game, I think, made everything real. I remember just taking a selfie and like sending it to my friends and family, being like, look, it's like official. I'm going to my game. I'm wearing my suit that's like been custom made for me with my name. And like, you know, you imagine yourself, and part of that visualization, you have to like see yourself in it. And then everything just got really real then.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about the venue in Paris? I mean, this is going to be like the prime venue of the entire games. I mean, that's got to be exciting.
Absolutely. I think, especially after the experience we had in Tokyo, which was, you know, an honor to be there, and we were so grateful that they were still able to put on the games in the middle of the pandemic. It was not the Olympic Games you dream of and that we worked for. And so to kind of see the renditions of what Paris is going to look like, and hear, you know, what the opening ceremony ceremonies is going to be, and like just seeing that, it's obviously very exciting. I think you get the butterflies in your stomach of like, okay, this is the Olympic that you dream of when you're a child, or you know, when you're talking about what you want to envision in Paris, like this is it. And so it is super exciting. I think that does help kind of like really make the dream come alive and kind of like really focus our goals, because it's like it's happening and like you can taste it and it's exciting.
Sure. Yeah, it's been like my background on my phone.
Yeah.
Like since our partnership.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of people who listen, they kind of want to know about what lives of Olympic caliber athletes are like. I mean, you know, you don't have to get too specific, but I mean, food wise, sleep wise, I mean, are you kind of in a certain like clockwork every single day? Do you try to be like, how does that work?
There's definitely a structure. There's definitely, you know, scientific proof behind the necessity for recovery and working out, strength building, nutrition. So I definitely follow all of those things on a daily basis. But my own personal values and my style is to kind of find creative ways to do that and kind of switch things up. So nutrition being more of a lifestyle, not so much dieting, working out, staying creative, trying different types of workout, including like Pilates or yoga or whatever it is to add to the strength building, and those phases change throughout the year, and having trainers that you trust, and then also just like ice baths, saunas, physiotherapy. Like our days are taking up hours a day of working out and then recovering. Sure. And then also a lot of like emotional and just like personal recovery, having time to spend doing the things that you love and that make you happy, and that taking a break from the intensity of sport and like constantly pushing yourself to improve and be better. There's also time to just like enjoy and have fun. So for me, that's like shopping and reading or doing absolutely nothing and just like sitting at home and listening to music. So I think it's a combination of everything.
Are there built-in times in the schedule for you guys to get a wind down here or there? Yeah.
Yeah, they're rare. They're far and few. Like, yeah. After this tournament, we have a week off, which we're super excited about. But yeah. To get, like, a whole week off is rare. I think you try and squeeze it in the day. I think you have the structured times of when you're training, and that's the priority. And then when you're not training, it's like, okay, I have this much time now, and I can go chill, put on a show, go for a walk, go for a nice dinner. Like, you can kind of plan things around what you know you have to get done, and then the rest is, like, up to you.
You work with a group that works on environmental causes. Did I read that correct?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. I've kind of had my eye on the environment and kind of sport and sustainability for a while, but I was kind of scared to talk about it openly or just kind of publicly. I took a couple courses in university on environmental science, and it really kind of triggered that in me. And I wanted to get aligned with some groups that were kind of in this mission with me, that I could kind of figure out how to go about my life and this journey that I'm on as sustainably as possible. I think being an outdoor sport like beach volleyball, we're starting to feel the effects of climate change. Global warming, especially in Tokyo, was the hottest Olympics ever recorded. And you could really see how it was affecting some sports and water sports. Like a lot of the marathoners were under a lot of heat stroke, and it started to really dawn on me, like, wow, we're starting to be impacted by this, and we as athletes probably have a really great platform to speak on it. And so I wanted to use it about that, and I also have been really conscious of how to go about this journey sustainably, whether it's offsetting my emissions or, you know, how can I align myself with brands and companies that have similar values, because it's affecting all of us. And I think if I can use my platform for something, it would be for that.
I don't know if you know this, but we've actually lost a lot of beach here. I don't know, but the beach erosion has been pretty crazy. So that's been something that the city's been focusing on.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. And you've got a scholarship program, correct? Or a scholarship you founded?
Yeah. So one of the most inspiring things for me is to use my platform to represent people of color in this sport and in general just accessibility to sport. So Project Worthy Scholarship is to fund the next volleyball players into their club careers, because sometimes just the financial burden is the only, you know, barrier to some really extremely talented, amazing people. If I didn't have people supporting me and literally paying my club fees, I would have never played volleyball. So that's just to kind of return the favor and start a legacy there. And to kind of grow that, I've also started a a beach volleyball clinic. It's a whole experience to kind of teach people how to navigate this world once they want to become professional or go into college, and just all of the things that I didn't learn. And that will be here in Chicago. My first one is called Behind the Ball with Brandy. And so I'm excited to kind of tie all of those things, have really diverse people show up, and hopefully continue to, you know, make an impact in this sport.
You guys both come from pretty solid athletic pedigrees, if I'm correct. Basketball father?
Yes. Is that,
Yeah.
My dad played in the NBA and played overseas in Europe and in Japan. So he is doing that, and then retired. Well, actually, you could argue with him that he retired at like 50, still playing like lower level pro stuff. But yeah, he's been doing that. And my mom's side, they're all like Swiss skiers or runners, or yeah, very big into sports.
did he push you into basketball at all?
Maybe a little bit, but honestly, both my parents didn't really push me to be athletes at all. They were like, go get a different job that is like a lawyer or something. But because they did it, and they understand the struggle, and it's true, like it's not easy to be an athlete, especially if you're not playing, you know, a big time sport. So I think they were just looking out for me, but seeing how much we've made this our own and become professionals, and the sport is growing, and there's real opportunity here to do this full time and to make an impact, they're my number one fans right now.
And your father is a volleyball coach.
Yeah, my dad played indoor volleyball in Chile, and then when he immigrated to Canada, he started coaching beach volleyball and went to the 1996 Atlanta Olympics with his team, and they won a bronze medal there.
Did you go?
I was three, so no, I was watching on TV, but yeah, he definitely influenced my journey and kind of getting into the sport. Never pushed me, he was very respectful of that, but just kind of exposed me to it, and I think I took a quick liking to it. My brother did not until much later in life, but yeah, my mom actually, she was a national folkloric dancer in Chile as well, and she tried to get me into dancing, and that did not go over well. I am so uncoordinated, I did not inherit any of her grace, so yeah, I definitely stuck with beach volleyball.
So what would you be doing if you weren't playing beach volleyball?
Great question. I ask myself that every day. honestly, at this point, I'd probably be doing something in environmental science and sustainability. I want to kind of immerse myself in the forest and kind of remove myself from everything and just commit to helping the planet, I guess, or open up a little smoothie store or smoothie shop. I love a good smoothie.
Good. How about you?
She will definitely be opening a smoothie store. Just look out for that. And me, I have always been like a weirdo art kid. That was my first love, was art and fashion and photography. So that's something I'll be looking forward to post my career.
The other teams that I've talked to have gotten with sports psychologists. Is that kind of mandatory now? Do you guys do that?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want
together, right? You guys go together.
We go together for sure, and we have sports psychs, we have personal psychs, like all of these things. I think it would be, you know, kind of you're cutting yourself short if you don't look into that aspect of the game, especially with this sport specifically. It is just a beautiful intrinsic sport where it challenges you as a person and just to really know yourself and to build a relationship with someone and manage all of the things on top of playing volleyball and doing skills. So the psychology part of it is huge. Yeah,
I think a lot of people kind of understood that for the first time about athletes and psychology with Simone Biles. I think that really brought it to the forefront, and then all the athletes were like, yeah, of course. Yeah. It makes total sense. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, how could she do that? And the athletes were like,
yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Chicago. First of all, you guys just got in here, did you get a chance to explore much or no?
Not yet. I mean, we've been here for, my first time here was 2019, so I've come here almost every year since then, and I love this city, and it reminds me actually a little bit of Toronto, and I love coming here. I think it's a cool juxtaposition of like the beach, and then you have the skyline in the back, and it's rare to have a city that has both, and so I love that. We always have a good time in Chicago. I'm hoping that I can explore it a little bit more this week. They have a great downtown, good food scene, great shopping, really cool. Actually did the river tour one time. Yep. That was unbelievable. The architecture along the river was gorgeous, so I want to do that again. It actually almost convinced me to move here. I was like, look at that little loft over there. So it was really cool.
Keep the compliments coming. This is what we like in Chicago. And you've got an event coming up. Is that what you said?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. My event will be this Wednesday, so I'm really looking forward to engaging with the local volleyball clubs here and their athletes and just hopefully building like an annual event here. We love to come here and play, and so the AVP has been generous enough to make sure that all the athletes coming to the clinic have tickets to come watch the games this weekend too. So we just want to keep involving everybody in this city because we love to be here. We feel so invited and welcome. So
What are you expecting out of this weekend? What are you trying to accomplish as a team here? Obviously winning money, that would be helpful. Yeah. But is there anything physically or mentally you guys are trying to accomplish, or just kind of this is part of the steps to the games?
Yeah, I think really appreciating this step towards our journey and taking in all of the lessons it has for us. We've started to learn, like Melissa said, we're always looking for new ways to be more dynamic, be pioneers of this sport, and try to play it a little bit differently. So we're going to try and implement a lot of those things, take the wins and losses as they come, but always finish strong and being very proud of what we put out there.
For fans who have never been to this before, what can they expect when they come out?
You can expect like the highest level of beach volleyball. You can expect good music. You can expect a good time. You can expect rowdy fans. You can expect some sun, some sand. Bring your flip-flops and some refreshing lake water also. It'll be a really great time, and I think you won't regret coming.
And it's free.
And it's free!
Yeah. We love a free thing.
Where can people follow you guys? Social media.
I'm most active on my Instagram, and that's Bvuillemier, Bvuillemier. Always updating that. So.
Yep, my Instagram is Melissa Jimena Paredes, MelissaHumanaParedes. I'm going to try and shorten it one day, but right now that's it.
I know, both of us just picked the hardest handles, and it's just going to be that.
But it's worth the follow. Go type
Promise,
it in. You won't regret
content,
it.
Good content.
And if there's victory on Sunday, will you be drinking champagne down the streets of Chicago? I feel like I saw a video in Miami.
Absolutely.
With some deep dish in one hand and champagne in the other.
Don't let anyone here convince you to drink Malort, by the way. It's specific to Chicago. It tastes like garbage. Okay? If you see it and you're like, oh, I want to try that Malort, just don't. Don't do it. As a local, I can tell you.
We've been warned. Okay.
Or do it. I don't know. Let me know how it goes. The AVP Gold Series 2023 is underway this weekend in Chicago. You can watch on ESPN+. The finals are on ESPN Sunday. More Olympic qualifying events are underway this weekend, including skateboarding and 3-on-3 basketball in Switzerland, badminton in China, weightlifting in Saudi Arabia, and sport climbing in Italy. I'm Ryan Burrow. Thanks for listening to Quest for Gold. Next week, we're talking pickleball. How far away is that from being an Olympic sport? We'll chat about it next week. We'll see you then.